The reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, starting to read at verse 25. At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much indeed. I love getting invitations. I'm always very envious of people who you have those printed invitations to go to things. You go into their houses sometime and you see the mantelpieces stuffed with, you know, invitations from, I don't know, the Civic Council for some event or other, or somebody's invited you to a special dinner or a party or a wedding or something like that. And then I come back home and I look at my mantelpiece and, you know, I see the polling card perched on it and, you know, something else like that. And I'm always very envious of invitations. But let me say that the invitation that we read about in Matthew chapter 11 is one of the loveliest invitations and one of the most significant invitations that anybody could ever have. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, this is Jesus talking, and he says, come to me. A lot of people, I think, particularly if they attend confirmations, sometimes great and grand occasions for these confirmations, think that Christianity is really about church. It's about church being part of your life. And what I want to say is that the Bible never leads us to believe that coming to church or being part of church is necessarily going to be the answer to life's questions. The answer is coming to a person, not a religion. It's coming to Jesus Christ. Come to me, all who labor and all who are weary and labor, and I will give you rest. So, in confirmation, what we're celebrating today is the fact that the people who are being confirmed, it's not that they've signed, you know, a commitment to attend church every week, though it wouldn't do you any harm to attend church any week, it would do you a lot of good, but it's that they are going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. They've come to him. And what is so significant about him? I mean, why him? I mean, surely Jesus Christ is just a historical figure who died 2,000 years ago. What's this got to do with me today? And the answer is that Jesus Christ isn't just an ordinary person. Jesus Christ is and was a man, but is also God. You see, in the first bits of our reading, Jesus says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. We cannot come to God unless we come to Jesus. Now, why is that? Why have we got to do that route? Why can't we just sort of express our belief in God and do our best in life, and, you know, why isn't that good enough? And the answer is because Jesus achieved something for us that nobody else could do. He He enabled us to have rest. If you say, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, that doesn't mean if you come to Jesus, he'll enable you to put your feet up for the rest of life and for the whole of eternity. Rest is a word that has a particular significance in the Bible, and it means where everything is right with God. So when you start reading the Bible in Genesis, you get to the bit about, you know, it's expressed in very poetic language about how God made the world. You're on the first day, the second day, the third day, and so on. But what did he do on the seventh day? He rested. Why? Because everything he'd done was good. It was working as it should. Everything was in the right relationship with God. Adam was in the Garden of Eden, and he had a good relationship with God. There was nothing to get in the way. But it all went wrong. The rest that they had was broken. And it was broken by human sin. And that's the picture we're given of Adam and Eve in the garden when they fell under the serpent's temptation and they sinned. Now, this isn't saying anything about snakes, as though we need to worry particularly about them or to go searching for where the Garden of Eden might have been and all of that sort of thing. What we're supposed to understand from reading those very early words in the Bible is that we were made to have a relationship with God, and that when people are in relationship with God, life is as it is supposed to be. But when that relationship is broken, all sorts of things start to go wrong in our own relationships, but also in what we're hoping for. Because if we've turned our backs on God, then the prospect of eternity does not look good. Because if we decide we want to do without God, he'll confirm that decision for us forever. So the idea that God should come as Jesus Christ, as a man, in sort of terms that you and I can understand, he should come and do something which restores rest, enables us to have that perfect relationship with God. That is a very wonderful possibility. And the reason Jesus was able to do it was because he was God. So he came into the world as a man. He loved us so much that he was prepared to take all the consequences on himself of our sin, of all the ways in which we've turned our back on God, the ways in which we've cut him out of our lives, the way we've broken that rest. He took all the consequences himself and as a result died, because if you turn your back on the source of life, the result is death. He took those consequences on himself. He experienced what we fear most, death. He experienced that himself. He experienced what it was like to be cut off from God. And then, didn't leave it at that. To show that what he'd done for us had actually worked, he rose again from death. He's God. He's in control of it, life and death. He rose again from death, which showed that the sacrifice he had made had worked, that it was sufficient for all that it was intended to achieve. So when we put our trust in Jesus, it's not like trusting a historical figure from years and years ago. Yes, it is the record of what happened years ago that helps us to see what he's like and the significance of what he did. But he rose again. He's God. He's living. Jesus Christ is alive, which is why we can still respond to his invitation today to come to him. In all the brokenness of our own lives, with everything that may have gone wrong, all our worries about the future, all of the things that we regret, all of the things that make us bitter, all of the things, in other words, which show that rest is broken, we can come to Jesus put our trust in what he achieved when he died for us. And all of the burden we carry can be taken by him, and we can once again have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. It is a tremendous invitation. It's like no invitation you will ever receive from anyone else. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Well, we're going to hear in a moment from the candidates how they've explored that for themselves. And for you, you may well be in that position of having had that rest restored for you. And if it's not something that you've really thought about before, well, one of the things you'll hear about when we talk to the candidates in a moment is that so many of them have done a course called Simply Christianity, which has explained things for them. And if you're interested in this, then talk to Simon afterwards about booking up on the next Simply Christianity course.